We're once again in the book of Psalms tonight. Tonight we're going to be in Psalm number 136. And we're going to be looking at a call to thanksgiving. Psalm 136. We're going to be covering verses 1 through 15. Psalm 136. Beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretcheth out the earth upon the above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we examine this psalm, and we're only covering half of it tonight, but Father, we see a very familiar passage. The mercy of God endures forever. And Father, we give You praise and we give You thanksgiving tonight. If ever there was a reason for men to give thanks, it is because Your mercy endures forever. And Lord, as we come before You tonight, as we open the Word of God together, and as we examine this passage, I just pray that You would open our eyes to the wonders of God and help us to be thankful of heart and spirit. And Lord, we give You all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this particular psalm, the first three verses begin with, "O give thanks." The first verse says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." That statement separates our God from every other idol, every other so-called God or deity that has ever existed. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. You can go back into the history of all civilizations. You can examine the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, all of the gods of mythology, the Romans, the Assyrians, the Egyptians. And in all of them, there is no God of hope. Not one of these civilizations recognized a God of hope, and yet we do. Why? Because He is good. He is good. It is a tragedy that the only God, the God of all gods, that is good, is rejected by men. And yet He is. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He is good. If you go back and study the gods of the Old Testament, those gods of Canaan that the Lord God said, "You will not bow down before any other gods, no other idols. You will not acknowledge them, nor will you worship them in any way, shape, or form." You'll find that all of them had one thing in common. All of those gods ruled their people by fear. Even today, The gods that are the most popular in the world rule their people by fear. All you have to do is think of Allah. Allah, who controls his people by fear and intimidates those around them through the people that worship him. Even the Eastern gods that have become so popular in our midst, and we are trying desperately as the church today is letting down its standards and compromising to incorporate the worship of the Eastern mysticisms within its context, those gods are ruled by gods of fear. Those people that worship the gods of Eastern mysticism. If you will, think about Buddha and think about those who believe in reincarnation. They talk about peace, but they deliver fear. What is to say I can live my life the best that I know how, and all I have to look forward to is a reincarnation, and I don't have any idea what I'm going to come back as. I can come back as a flower or as a dung beetle. I have no control over that. I can live the best life that I want to, but I am always afraid and wonder what I'm going to come back as in the next life. Because there is no in the writings of those people, in their worship, there is no definition of where that line is that makes you good or bad. You do your best. That's all you can do. Will you come back as another human being or a maggot? We don't know. And so behind all of the humming and the meditation and the talk of peace, there is a fear in the heart of those people because they don't know what awaits them when death comes. But we do, because our God is good. He has promised that if we will bow before Him, repent of our sins, He will give us life. He will take death from us and give us life. And so we give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Our God is a God of mercy. There are people who will argue that point with you. As they read through the Old Testament, they'll be quick to tell you that no, your God is not a God of mercy at all. But we'll see. Bear with me. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. The word for God here is Elohim. Give thanks unto the Elohim of Elohims. What does that mean? The Hebrew word for divinity, or that dealt with deity, was the word Elohim, or is the word Elohim. Here we have the deity above all deities is our God. Give thanks unto the deity of all deities. You can go back, or you can even examine today those who bow down before little statues or before saints and pray to people, pray to idols of stone or of gold or silver. And you'll find that behind every one of those idols is an Elohim, a fallen angel or demon. Perhaps even Satan himself. But the God that we serve is the capital G, Elohim, over all those gods that are worshipped in the world, that have ever been worshipped in the world. We give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. The Elohim of the Elohim speaks of the gods worshipped on earth. The Lord of Lords speaks of the Lord or the God of heaven. You see, our God is not just worshipped on earth. He's worshipped in heaven by the angels that He created, and He's worshipped by those that are redeemed. Your moms and dads, fathers, moms, children, brothers and sisters that have gone on before you, that trusted Christ, are very much alive today and praising God in heaven. They worshiped Him here, and they will worship Him there forever. Friends, we have much to be thankful for. We have so much to look forward to. There's so much more than what we are experiencing today. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. When we think of the wonders of God, we think of the Grand Canyon, or we think of the mountains of Banff, or we think of some of the more beautiful places of nature. But many times our eyes don't even see the wonders of God. Have you ever noticed in the tiny corner of your home a little spider trying to make a home in a giant's house? Petrified of you. Every time you come around, he runs and tries to hide in the corner of your building. That little guy has a heart, a circulatory system, nerves, genes, chromosomes. He's a created being of God. He has 8 eyes. Go figure. 8 legs. You and I do well if we can walk with 2 without falling down. He has 8 of them to stumble over things. But he can move. God has equipped him. He's a marvelous wonder and creation of God. That little tiny spider that's petrified of you, and yet there are creatures that we can't see that are petrified of him. To them, he's a monster. And therein lies the wonders of God, the creation of God. That which he has done and which is before our eyes, and we don't even notice it. We're so used to seeing these things. We don't stop to look at the wonders of God in the little things. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Today we have some of the smartest people on the face of the earth who have their degrees and have spent all of their lives studying, and yet in their ignorance declare that the heavens and the earth and the stars, the galaxies, the universes were all created because of an explosion in space, because they can't come up with anything better. Yet the Bible says that our God, through His great wisdom, made the heavens. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens. And what a wisdom it is. It's far greater than ours, because man refuses to acknowledge the Creator. His mercy endureth forever. There's no greater wisdom. There is no greater wisdom than the wisdom of our God. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. He stretched out the earth above the waters. If you were to go back to the book of Genesis and you were to look at the creation, you'll notice that there's a verse there that says that God brought the land out of the waters. So as we look at that, we come to the conclusion that when God first spoke the world into existence, our earth, it was covered by water. And then he separated the land that was under the water, and he brought it up, and he made caverns in the deep for the water to go into. You remember when the flood happened? He said that he brought up the waters from beneath the earth. He broke up. And the waters came from out of the earth, up above. God, in his perfect plan, created this world. And when he created it, he brought the land out of the waters and established the continents before he created man. Some of the waters were put into the heavens. Some of the waters were put into the deep beneath the earth. He fashioned it with his hands. And when man rebelled and became sinful at the time of the flood, God simply returned the waters that were here in the first place back upon the surface of the earth. And the waters covered the earth again. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, the wisdom of God and man, puny, pathetic man, challenges him in everything that he has written and all of the wonders of his creation. All man does is question God. Verse 7 says, to him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. He made great lights. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when the New Jerusalem comes at the end of the millennial reign, it will be lit not by the sun. There will be no sun. It will be brought to light by the glory of God. So God knows light. And he created lights. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. We have a tendency to overlook, to take advantage of so many things. What do you suppose would happen if there were no order in God's creation? If the sun were to come up today, but maybe it wouldn't set for 1,000 years. And you wouldn't see the sun for 1,000 years. Or you would have the sun for a week, and then you wouldn't have it for a month. You would not be able to grow crops. Life would not be able to be sustained on this planet. Everything is done according to the perfect order of God. There is a great mathematical precision to our universe. The planets are all streaking through the air. And yet, everything is in order. We rotate around our sun. And we take advantage of the sun. We don't even think about it. We look at the sunrise in the morning. We look at the sunset at night. Complain about the heat. And yet, the energy that comes off the sun is staggering. I was watching a commercial this afternoon. I was watching one of the football games, and this commercial came on with a pickup truck, and it was bragging about the fact that it had 427 horsepower, more horsepower than any other pickup. And I was struck by the fact that the sun produces 70,000 horsepower per square yard every second. Every second. Every 3 seconds, our sun consumes 12 billion tons of gases. If the earth were to use gas at the rate that the sun does, we would last 3 days. The human race would be wiped out. There would be no life on this planet. The sun to rule by day. And who created that sun? Our God. Our God. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. It's been said that Christians are like little moons. We reflect the light of our God, but that's not true. We don't reflect the light of God. When we receive Christ, the light of God comes within us. We don't reflect anything. We send forth from that which God has placed within us. But the moon and the stars rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. Now we're getting into one of those places in the Old Testament where people begin to question the mercy of God. What kind of a God would kill the firstborn? Little children. What kind of a God would declare that the firstborn of every creature, every animal in Egypt would die? The firstborn of every family in Egypt would die. The firstborn in every family that did not put the blood of the lamb mixed with hyssop above the door. What kind of a God could do such a thing if He's merciful? He is the God who was lied to 9 times by Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, who extended mercy 9 times through the power that He displayed and asked them to release His people. And they said yes and then lied and kept His people. He is the God who will judge all liars. And after 9 evidences of His mercy came forth in judgment. He could easily have destroyed Egypt for what they did. Every man, every woman, every child, every animal. But He extended mercy. You may not like His mercy. You may not like His judgment. But the righteousness and the holiness of God demands that sin be judged, whether it's my sin or your sin. It must be judged. Why else would a holy, righteous God send His only begotten Son to die on a cross for the likes of us? Sin must be judged. And so to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, His mercy endureth forever. And He brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. On 9 separate occasions, He had asked Egypt to release His people through Moses. On each of those occasions, Pharaoh said no or yes, and God sent a plague. And then Pharaoh would lie to get the plague taken care of, and God would send another to prove to him that you cannot lie and deceive God. God is not a man that can be fooled, can be tricked. He brought Israel out from among them. It was God's hand that brought them out. He brought out His people because He promised His people that they would always be a people, that He would bring them to the land, that He would give them to the nation of Israel and the nation of Israel to them. What kind of a God would go back on His promises? God cannot break His own word. He brought His people out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. Just as He brought out Israel from Egypt, He brings out His church from this world. And how does He do it? By a stretched out arm. When He died on the cross, both of His arms were stretched out. He died. By a stretched out arm, He led His people. And He leads His people today from sin into life. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. The Red Sea separated the lost from the redeemed. It allowed God's people, Israel, to escape from a nation which sought to either enslave them or destroy them. And yet we question the mercy of God. He divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. There is no greater deliverer than our God. He always provides a way for us. No matter what we face, God provides a way. And finally, in verse 15, it says, "But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. God produces safety for His children and ruin for the children of Satan. Pharaoh made a very common mistake. There the seas were parted. Israel had gone over on dry ground. And Pharaoh made the same mistake that people make over and over and over in our world today. He believed that he could do what believers do, and there would be no penalty. He believed that even though he did not believe in the God of Israel, he believed he had as much power as God's people, and he could do what God's people do, and there would be no penalty. And so he commanded his armies to go forth, and they drove their chariots out into the midst of that sea, and the wheels came off, and the mud came up, and then the waters covered them over. Because those that are lost, those that have rejected Christ, cannot do what God's people can do. They cannot enter into the land of heaven. Regardless of the deception of their minds and their hearts, and they can convince themselves that they do not need to bow down before Jesus Christ. They'll take their chances with a good life. They'll do what they can, and God will just open the doors of heaven to them anyway. No, He won't. No, He will not. It is only through the blood of His Son that the gates of heaven tremble. It is only with the blood of His Son that the gates of hell tremble. You and I tonight have every reason to give thanks. If you know Christ is your Savior, you have everything. If you don't, you have nothing. But God is merciful, and God wants you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we give You praise tonight. We thank You for Your mercy. Lord, I know that we test it many times. And yet, Your mercy endureth forever. We thank You for the salvation in Christ Jesus. For the hope, the promises, for the security of a believer in Christ. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here tonight that does not know You as Savior, that they would put themselves in Your hands tonight, asking for forgiveness of their sins. I ask that You would be with our church. And Lord, as we go tonight and as we gather with our families tomorrow to celebrate Thanksgiving, let our hearts sing in the knowledge of Christ. And let us take time to say thank You. As we pray in the precious name of Jesus.